Good afternoon, brethren. It's great to see all of you this afternoon on this bright Sabbath afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, Mr. Luker shared with you that Melody had been having more difficulties of recently and asked all of you to pray for her and to fast whenever possible. I wanted to give you an update today because, again, your prayers continue to work for her. It certainly is humbling to me to know that so many of you pray for her on a regular or daily basis, but it really does make a difference in her life. Some of the things that have been plaguing her recently, she's had some chronic stomach pain, she's has breathing difficulties at times, but they are improving. We're continuing to look to God for healing, but at the same time work with the doctors. And, you know, to give you one aspect, she has one thing called an eosinophil level. Her eosinophil level is so high that most people in her condition would be hospitalized for, you know, chronic asthma. And despite having that high level, she's, you know, doing fine. So in some ways, even though she's having difficulty, God is even intervening as it is. We had meetings with three doctors this week, and we have a meeting again on Monday with another one of her regular doctors. So I would ask you to ask for God's intervention and also to inspire the doctors to, they don't know exactly what is causing some of these problems. So if you could pray that that would be revealed as well, that would be helpful. But again, your prayers are making a difference, and myself, my wife, and daughters do thank all of you. Well, if any of you were hoping that my subject today would be Survivor Christian Edition, I hate to disappoint you, that is not my topic today. My topic today is, what are you waiting for? Now, when you bring up the topic of waiting, it's not necessarily our favorite subject, because as humans, we don't necessarily like to wait. We don't like waiting in traffic. We don't like waiting in grocery lines. Myself, I don't necessarily like waiting in long ferry lines. Sometimes it's difficult because we have to wait for the next paycheck. You know, what about you? What is it that you don't necessarily like waiting for? And even when we look at the big picture and we look towards God's kingdom, sometimes it's even difficult waiting for that day to come. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Lamentations 3, verses 25 and 26, it says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him." And in verse 26, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." In Micah 7, verse 7, it says, "But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for my God, my Savior. My God will hear me." And in the New Testament, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." We can go on and on. The Bible talks about waiting in so many different areas. But you know what? Sometimes waiting is difficult. And as Paul says, there's things hidden in darkness. There's so much darkness in this world, and even sometimes within the church at times, that when we see these wrongs or we see difficulties, we just want to scream out and say, "Look what's wrong. Something must be done with this. This is terrible." But God sometimes says instead, "Wait. Let me, in my time, reveal it." We need to wait. We need to wait, and sometimes we even need to wait quietly. And as Micah says, "I will wait for my God, and He will hear me." So, brethren, we need to wait. But my question is, we know that God will hear us, but do you and I hear God? We wait for Him, but is He waiting for us? Is He speaking to you and I and saying, "Boy, I wish that Olsen character would become more loving, or I wish this person would become a more patient man or a more patient woman, or I wish this person, I'm waiting for this person to remove anger from their life, or I'm waiting for someone else to overcome their addiction, whatever it is. Is it possible, as you and I think it's difficult to wait on God and wait for answers, at the same time, He is waiting on you and I? Now, I don't want you to confuse this to think that I think that we as individuals or we as a church can hold up God's plan of salvation because He's waiting for us. I'm not saying that. We all know that that is not true. God can raise up stones if He needs to. If He can use a donkey to talk to Balaam, He can do anything. So you and I are not going to hold up God's plan of salvation. But we do have a God who is kind, He is patient, and sometimes unnecessarily, when we think we are waiting on God, He instead is waiting on us. So many times in our life, we are praying earnestly to God, we're looking to God for a specific answer, and we're waiting. We pray and we wait. We fast and we wait. Sometimes patiently, sometimes not so patiently. But as we're waiting and seeking God, do we ever think to ourselves, what is God waiting for me to do? Now again, there is a balance here. I'm not trying to say that everything is up to us and by what we can do that we can earn salvation by our works. Not at all. Please don't understand me. But I think one of the most valuable things that I learned at Ambassador College, I believe that it came from Mr. Armstrong, but I can't quote that for sure. But while I was at college, I was taught that when you get on your knees each morning to pray, you need to pray with fervency and conviction as if everything that you're going to do in that day depends on God. And then, when you're finished with that prayer and you come up off your knees, the rest of the day you're out there working and doing everything as if it depends on you. And that combination of seeking God and asking Him for everything, and then at the same time working and doing things in your life, it is then that we can truly move forward in life. As we think about it, if we look in our lives, is there things that God has been waiting for you or I to change for a couple months, a couple years, 5 years, 20 years? Do I dare say 30 years? Sadly, it possibly could be. Yes, we are overcoming. Yes, we're moving forward. But I think if we're very honest with ourselves, there are things that we battle in our lives that are difficult. And sometimes they're hard to face, and we just keep thinking, if I wait long enough, with enough time, maybe this problem will just go away. But our God, even though He is loving, even though He is patient, He's also a God of action. He's always been this way. He's been this way from the beginning. With Adam and Eve, He told them, don't do this. Instead of asking them to do something, He said, don't do something. Unfortunately, they failed. But also there were many behind them that did not fail. Take Noah. God said for Noah, He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a flood. I need you to go out and build an ark, make it exactly this big, use this type of wood. Noah did exactly what God asked for. And even then, under those circumstances, God had to wait 120 years to bring the flood on the earth, because that's how long it took Noah to build the ark. A few years later, He told Abram, who later became Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, but I need you to leave your country. Now, what if Abram said, well, you know what, I was born here, I grew up here, you know, my family is here, I've got all my friends, you know what, I like it here. You know, God, why don't you just work things out and bless me here? I don't really feel like going over to this other country. Well, that wouldn't work so well. God asked Abram to do this, and He did it. There are many, many examples in the Bible where Jesus healed people, and sometimes He would just intervene directly and heal them, and other times He required action on their part. Just one example of that is in Luke 17, verses 12 and 14. That's Luke 17, verses 12 through 14. It says there, "Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And in verse 14, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Again, if they didn't follow his instructions, if they didn't move to action, if they would have just waited and not done anything, they would have not been healed. But as they did, as Christ commanded, they were healed. The same thing is true in our lives. One last example, if we go back to the Israelites, they were slaves to the Egyptians for many, many years. And the Israelites had to be patient, and year after year they had to wait and pray and wait and ask God to release them from their bondage and slavery. Finally, they were let go, and they started marching towards the Promised Land. But very quickly, they became entrapped in the Red Sea. But again, now, instead of waiting, they had to go forward. And as they moved forward, God delivered them. Brethren, this afternoon I ask you, where are we in our Christian journey? Are we just waiting, or are we needing to move forward? Is God waiting on us instead of us waiting on Him? Brethren, we face many battles. Our battles might be fear, maybe anger, may be depression, it may be illness. Whatever it is for you, fill it in. We all have our battles. I don't think there's anyone in this room that does not have a battle. And sometimes these battles feel overwhelming, difficult. They may have been with us for a long time. And sometimes we feel that we can never conquer them. Sometimes it's just more comfortable to wait and pray and hope. And there's nothing wrong with prayer, and there is nothing wrong with hope. Absolutely not. They are essential to our Christian life. But if there are things that we need to move forward and take action, we cannot continue to wait. We must move forward into battle. The comforting and exciting part is that when we take that first step, and when we really decide that we're going to overcome these areas, then God and Jesus Christ is at our side and helps us fight and win this battle. In conclusion, let's turn to Romans 8, starting in verse 18. In Romans 8, verse 18, Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Our battles and difficulties are real. They're tough. They're not easy. I don't minimize them in any way. But the future opportunity that awaits us is so much greater than our difficulties today that we must move forward. Remember I mentioned that we wait on God and God waits on us? Notice what the creation says in verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons." We wait on God. God is waiting for us. But the whole creation is looking forward to the day in which we will become spirit beings. Notice what it dropping down to verse 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" And notice what the promise is in verse 37. "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Brethren, I ask you, what are you waiting for?